Hi, everyone. I'm Haley Griffiths, and this is The Science of Social Media, a podcast by Buffer, your weekly sandbox for social media stories, insights, experimentation, and learning.
Welcome to episode 114. I'm Brian Peters, and this week we're breaking down what is quite possibly the biggest social media news story of the year. Instagram's co-founders are stepping down, and we've got the inside scoop for you on what's next for the social giant.
We're also taking a look at vertical video and how it continues to gain momentum on social networks in both usage and effectiveness. Plus, two big announcements from Facebook, including Stories ads, groups, and lots more.
As always, a warm welcome to the show. Let's kick it off.
I guess there's no better place to start than with one of the biggest social media stories of the year. The founders of Instagram, Kevin Systrom and Mike Krieger, are leaving Facebook. Now, there's a bit of speculation around what actually happened, but according to Bloomberg, it's at least partly due to growing tensions with CEO Mark Zuckerberg over the direction of where Instagram is heading.
As many of you might remember, Systrom and Krieger have been at the company since Instagram's acquisition by Facebook in 2012 for $1 billion. That $1 billion turned out to be an incredible investment for Facebook, with Instagram now valued at more than $100 billion. Systrom said that they're planning on taking some time off to, quote, explore their curiosity and creativity again, and that building new things requires that they step back, understand what inspires them, and then match that with what the world needs.
Of course, Zuckerberg praised the Instagram founders in a statement and said that he wished them, quote, all the best, and I'm looking forward to seeing what they build next, end quote. However, it does raise some questions about what the true reason for the founders' departures was and what the future holds for Instagram. Facebook continues to face a ton of criticism. For much of the past 2 years, critics have accused Facebook of things like being careless with user data and for not preventing foreign interference and things like that.
Exactly. And those issues have started to take a toll on Facebook's business and stock. Facebook shares fell about 2.5% after the news broke on September 24th. This news certainly raises some questions about, you know, what's going on over there. Many publications like the New York Times and Bloomberg are speculating that the Instagram co-founders weren't happy with the direction that Zuckerberg was taking Instagram, saying that it's going in a direction that goes against their original vision for the company.
Yeah, I can totally see that. I mean, as a public company, Facebook has their shareholders to take into account, which means that generating revenue is often a top priority when it comes to product decisions. I think that Systrom and Krieger leaned more towards the organic community side of things rather than the revenue generation side of things, which isn't necessarily good or bad either way. They might just have come to a natural end to their time at Facebook.
Yeah, totally agreed, Haley. I don't necessarily think that making product decisions based on generating revenue is a bad thing, but it's just kind of, you know, when you have a product that's based around community, it could seem, you know, it could put obviously the co-founders off. And it sounds a little bit like what we went through here at Buffer over the last few years, though we ended up going what I would say, you know, comparing the two, the organic community side of the spectrum. But it's worth noting here that the product, from a product and business perspective, Instagram continues to be a major opportunity. In fact, Instagram is on track to provide Facebook with $20 billion in revenue by 2020, about a quarter of Facebook's total revenue.
Wow, that's so wild. And I mean, Instagram continues to attract a younger cohort of users who are critical to Facebook's growth. And they're spending a ton of time on the platform as well, with users averaging about 53 minutes per day, which now it's really easy to see how much time you spend on Instagram with the new iPhone update.
Yes. Yeah, good call.
Plus, I mean, Instagram is also rolling out lots of great shopping features in the feed, stories, and explore. And all of these things are making it a great platform to be on for e-commerce brands.
All in all, and I might be alone here, but I think that the departures of Systrom and Krieger create a unique opportunity for Instagram moving forward. The decisions they make on who to hire to replace them and where to take the product over the next few months will be critical in determining the long-term viability and success of Instagram. I don't know about you, Haley, but I'm very excited for what's in store.
Yeah, I mean, I'm definitely really excited to see what Instagram has on the horizon. And then when it comes to Systrom and Krieger, I think it's an interesting decision for them. I'm excited to see what they do next. I read a really great Wired piece about how Instagram founders always have great timing. These two have great timing in their careers. And maybe what they're doing here is just leaving Instagram while they're at the top, you know, quitting while they're ahead. And they're leaving on a really high note. And I think that's admirable.
Yeah, absolutely. And as always, we'll keep you posted on the most important and breaking news here on the Science of Social Media. If you do a quick search online for vertical video, you'll quickly uncover hundreds of blog posts, even entire websites, telling you to stop shooting video vertically. It's no secret that people love to hate on vertical video. But for businesses, it's time to reconsider because vertical video is the new default.
And the reason vertical video isn't going anywhere and why it's the new default is because smartphones are driving the trend. And as more content is both created and consumed on mobile devices, we'll see increasing amounts of vertical video. It's not hard to imagine a day when the majority of time spent online browsing, reading, and shopping is done on our phones. In fact, I think we're pretty close to that.
I'd say we're very close. And for creators, vertical is a compelling new storytelling format that can help you connect with your audience in new ways and is yet to be embraced fully by marketers, leaving you with a great opportunity to start today. Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube all support vertical video now, and studies show that it produces more engagement and converts better than traditional landscape video.
Yeah, just this year, Instagram reported that more than 40% of its users said they're more interested in a brand or product after seeing it in an Instagram story. But more important than vertical video converting customers and driving sales, which is obviously very important, is that vertical video helps brands to look and feel authentic on social media in feeds filled with friends and family.
Great point, Haley. And I think that's the most understated and just untalked about point at this point in vertical videos, history and stories and all that. Just to elaborate a little further on that, think about what types of videos everyday people are creating. Are they creating highly produced landscape videos, or are they shooting with their phone in vertical mode? I would probably guess the latter. And so brands that can make their content look and feel like real users' content are the brands that are going to succeed. Vertical video's secret weapon is that it feels like it's coming from a friend, even if it's coming from a brand.
Yeah, the vertical first stories format is incredibly versatile. For example, Netflix designed a mobile exclusive stories format for movie trailers. It looks just like the button that you'd see on Instagram to launch a story, but offers a new way to breeze through movie trailers. And by the way, if you want to see this Netflix example or read about how your business can succeed with vertical video, we just launched a brand new 4-part email series. Check out blog.buffer.com for all of the details.
The series is super good. Definitely go check that out. And I love the Netflix example from that one. Anyways, yeah. What can be intimidating for many of us is actually making the shift to creating vertical first content and adapting that across your social channels. Despite being years into the video first world, many businesses are afraid of the format. The skills that are required to produce or edit the video are difficult to find, and it requires a sizable investment.
Despite that, filming vertical video is easier than you think, and it might even make it less scary to take your first video steps. Because vertical video is native to mobile devices and the majority of vertical first content is filmed on a smartphone already, the expectation of your audience is dramatically different than in the past. In fact, The Guardian invested heavily in Instagram and found that heavily produced videos with scripts and studios and professional editing, they just weren't worth the effort when they were analyzing the data.
Instead, they discovered that quick explainers and even static graphics were more popular and made it more likely that a viewer would stick around until the end. News UK found similar results, saying that vertical video had, quote, increased interactions sixfold, and it plans to experiment with more of them for other intents, such as advertising items for purchases.
The key, if you're excited to jump on this vertical video trend, is to remember that watching vertical videos is almost synonymous with being on the go, meaning that your viewers are likely to be interrupted by their surroundings, notifications, or maybe their arms just get tired. I mean, attention spans are getting shorter, particularly as you grapple with being alongside the user's friends filling their screen.
All right. I feel like the arm getting tired is a real problem.
It's true. You need a prop.
Yeah. Though I don't know what that says about current society, but that's a whole different show. What that means for video, though, is to get to the point quickly and give the viewer the hook almost up front. Bite-sized instant content means that they'll consider continuing into your feed and end up seeing more of your content than they would with a 5-minute explainer, of course, though 5-minute explainers do work well for other channels like YouTube. Mercedes-Benz has some great examples of getting the balance between content and length right, where it successfully reached more than 2.6 million people with short ads that crammed in a lot of information quickly by using the format in a new way.
Wow, that's awesome. I mean, speaking of YouTube, I just watched my first video, my vertical video, oh my gosh, that's like a tongue twister, on YouTube the other day, and I was really pleasantly surprised that I didn't have to flip my screen over.
So you didn't flip your screen and you enjoyed it?
I really enjoyed it. Yeah.
Case in point, I'd say.
There you go. If you want to learn more about vertical video, just go out and check our blog at blog.buffer.com. All right, a few quick but important updates on the Facebook front before you go. First is that Facebook has officially announced that it's rolling out Facebook Stories ads to advertisers globally. More than 300 million people now use Facebook Stories every single day, and as is the tradition with Facebook, they're now offering businesses a way to tap into that massive audience base as well.
Yes, we are about to see ads everywhere. I feel like I'm indifferent. I like them and I don't like them sometimes. I don't know. What do you think?
Honestly, I find some of my favorite products through ads.
Yeah.
Like the ad targeting is so good. I know some people turn it off for privacy, but I keep it on because I wouldn't know about all these wonderful things. It sounds weird. Like I'm not sitting there, but I've bookmarked a lot of ads and I've found incredible things through ads. So
okay.
I think it works.
The fact that you're bookmarking ads is amazing. So brands everywhere, just remember they do work.
They work on some people.
But no, it's interesting because there's actually a lot of data out there that proves it. It does work. So like a survey from Ipsos discovered that 62% of people said they become more interested in a brand or product after seeing it in a story. And Facebook says that brands testing Facebook Stories are already seeing results.
And I mean, we've done a little experimenting with story ads as well, haven't we, Brian?
Yeah, we have for sure. And I must admit they're working really, really well for us. So like right now we're driving traffic to tons of different Buffer blog pages and Buffer website pages for less than 15 cents per click, which is, you know, comparing to other advertising networks is awesome.
Yeah. And I mean, we're not the only ones. A lot of brands are seeing similar results. Digiday found that the flight booking service Hopper has seen both Facebook Stories and Instagram Stories ads performing better than ads in Facebook's newsfeed and in Instagram's feed. And in fact, the results for Hopper have been so great that the business has been, quote, prioritizing designing ads for the Stories format, then adapting them to other formats, end quote.
Facebook Stories ads have rolled out globally today as of the recording of the show. So to get started with Stories ads, head on over to Facebook Ads Manager and create your ad. Then when it comes to selecting your placements, as Facebook calls them, you'll see the option to include Facebook Stories. We're going to be running a lot of tests over the next few weeks, so stay tuned as we report back here on the show.
Last but not least, and I thought this one was pretty cool, is that Facebook will now allow pages to join Facebook groups. Supposedly, a spokesperson at Facebook told Social Media Today that they've heard from lots of businesses that a more intimate setting can be meaningful for brand building. Facebook previously launched the ability for pages to start Facebook groups so they can engage with their communities, but now they're testing the ability for pages to join existing Facebook groups as well.
As with so many features launched in the social media world, it was spotted by Mari Smith and shared by Matt Navarra, and it could be another way for businesses to offset some of their losses in Facebook organic reach as a result of Facebook's platform algorithm shift. And so as of right now, the allow pages to request to join as group members, which is a setting, is active by default. So unless a group admin has chosen not to let pages join specifically, pages included in the test pool should be able to join most groups, and I think it's going to be obviously rolled out globally here pretty soon.
Of course, this isn't necessarily a game-changing function. It probably won't bring back most of the referral traffic you've likely lost as a result of Facebook's algorithm changes. However, it is another interesting consideration for businesses and marketers, and another option to help generate more attention for your business on social media.
Thank you so much for tuning into the Science of Social Media today. The show notes for this episode are now available on the Buffer blog at blog.buffer.com with the complete transcript. If you ever want to get in touch with Haley or myself, we're always here for you on social media using the hashtag Buffer Podcast. You can also say hi to us anytime at hello@buffer.com.
And a huge shout out to you all, the more than 20,000 people that tune into our show every single week. You make this fun and are the entire reason that we do what we do. So thank you so much. And thank you for telling your friends and your family and your colleagues about us as well. Maybe when they're not looking, just subscribe them to the Science of Social Media. Or while they're looking. I mean, that's what I do. Anyways, we have lots of great shows coming your way in the next few weeks. Until next Monday, everyone.